Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando, who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned weekly World News. Quoting the story, in retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't
for
come out again.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to L.A. Talk Radio, your real talk stage, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Keeping our fingers crossed and hoping for the best as Backtie explores things we really hope aren't related, except for they all happened on December 5th. The American League for Physical Culture was founded today in 1929. It, by the way, was the first nudist group in the U.S., and I hope their meetings were all indoors. We should all raise a glass to December 4th, 1933. That's when the 21st Amendment repealed the 18th Amendment and did away with Prohibition. But today, in 1985, sweet-looking grandmotherly Dr. Ruth got her own cable TV show all about having more and better sex. Am I blushing? Can you tell? That's Back Time for December 5th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinny Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. Bad news. Rachel Ray has to have throat surgery immediately. Oh, and by bad news, I mean that they're not removing it completely. Britney Spears premiered her documentary on MTV, wherein she said she looks back and thinks, how can I have been so stupid? Which is exactly what I went through after watching the stupid thing. Rumor is Madonna met up with A-Rod in a tropical locale this weekend. Not exactly news, as Madonna meets up with A-Rod pretty much everywhere she goes. One of TV's more intriguing questions was answered. Tina Fey's facial scar is the result of an attack from a stranger when she was only 5. Of course, Stevie's most intriguing question remains, why is According to Jim still on the air? And the idiot of the week, Barbara Walters. The most fascinating person of 2008 was obviously Audrina from The Hills. Duh! I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
A love affair is not torrid enough for an area man. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Married forklift operator Nate Ronson says his current love affair with stripper Crystal Poison is nowhere near torrid enough. Ronson had hoped that sex with the unstable lap dancer would, quote, blow his mind. But instead, he says, the relationship has moved toward mutual understanding, trust, and personal growth.
I can get that from my wife. I need the red hot loving.
Ronson plans to break up with Poison and engage in, quote, absolutely filthy sex with his supervisor's crazy teenage daughter. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
Mr. Guy Who's
When you were a kid, you swore you'd never turn out like your old man. But now that you have kids, it turns out you swear just like your old man.
You lousy kids, clean up this...
Sure, you want your kids to think you're hip and happening, but still find yourself screaming, turn down that awful jungle music for crying out loud.
And you don't care how you dress.
You've had that members-only jacket for 25 years.
Even the Goodwill doesn't want it.
So the next time you'll find yourself saying, back in the good old days, or this must be the new man, look in the mirror, ignore your nose hair, and say hello to Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy is turning into his father.
Come here, boy. Pull my finger.
Now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right
TGIF to you, Susie.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It is Friday, December 5th, and we have another beautiful day, yet another one.
It's absolutely gorgeous
in Southern California.
A little chilly.
A little chilly, but you're okay.
It'll warm up.
You've been warmed up by an animal.
Actually, he's ectothermic, so he's not really warming me up. I'm warming him up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so who do you have with you today?
I have Bacchus with me.
Bacchus with you.
Yes.
And describe Bacchus to us, because I don't want to look at him.
Well, first of all, Bacchus is, I think it's either the Greek or the Roman god of wine and debauchery.
Oh, okay, appropriately enough.
That's why I gave him his name, and he's my Australian bearded dragon.
Bearded dragon.
He's one of the three that I have, yes.
Mm. And how big is he?
How big is he?
Yeah, is that like a foot long or something with the tail?
Yeah, a little over a foot long with his tail.
Yeah.
He's the smallest of my three.
Yeah, you've got three lizards.
Yes.
Yeah.
I only have two in my possession right now because when I moved, I didn't have room for the other tank. So.
Right. And you know I don't like him, so you bring him anyway.
Well, I don't really, I had to bring him into the studio today because right. I'm going directly to my nannying job afterwards, and I promised the little boy last night I would bring a lizard.
Oh, okay. And the hell with what Sam thinks. No, I know, I just give you a hard time about it. I mean, it's a pet. I know, I realize that.
They're beautiful, beautiful creatures. And Bacchus is a very special one. He's very, very expensive because of his coloring. He's got a lot of orange and gold in mm-hmm. him.
So does that make him more rare?
Yes, it makes him much more rare. He's a red sandfire bearded dragon.
Mm.
So I'm breeding him now with a half golden and half inland bearded dragon. And so the babies are going to be fucking adorable.
Mutts.
but Dagny is being, she's a half purebred. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be like 3/4, you know, purebred babies.
Really? Very interesting.
Yes,
it looks like a little fucking dinosaur. That's what it looks
like. I know.
Like, huh?
I love it.
I mean, they're such ancient fucking animals, you know?
This guy, he really is a little shit, though, I tell you. He gets into all kinds of trouble.
Really?
I let him out and let him run around the house and everything, and he just will disappear or climb into things, and he kind of has like this wildness in his eyes. And mm-hmm. I got him when he was an adult. I didn't get him when he was a baby or hatch him like I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he spent his life and his childhood in a cage without being played with.
Oh.
And so
now he likes to be played with.
Not really. He's still a little bit wild.
Really? So he just likes to roam around.
He actually might just, if he warms up enough, leap across the table and jump on you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to throw him across the fucking room at your face.
I guarantee you'd be standing on the table cowering like a little boy because he'll open his mouth and go.
No, I won't give you that pleasure.
Oh, God.
Yeah, does he open his mouth and look mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And he puffed. They're called bearded dragons because right now you can't see, well,
right.
Let me see. Under
but he
his
can
neck,
puff his...
He turns that pitch black.
Really?
Pitch black, 100%. And it
the bottom of his chin?
The like bottom of his chin, under his neck.
Right.
And it turns completely black and just like completely just...
Really?
And then he starts bobbing his head and he does his little mating dance or his territorial dance.
Just tighten it over there. Yeah.
It's already fully tightened.
Is
it's
it
just,
really?
Yeah.
Then turn it the other way and then try again. Yeah. People are messing with the microphone stands here. Microphone arms, rather.
It's not a very strong knob here.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I mean, it's a very heavy microphone, so I don't know. But we can hear you well, so don't worry about it. We'll fix it during the break.
Good, good.
So, yesterday. Okay, the guest we had yesterday,
yes.
Linda,
uh-huh.
Former porn star. She's 52 now. And she showed us her tits.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't fucking get them out of my mind all day. Did you think they were nice? You weren't that impressed.
Not really.
But she was 52 years old and they were perky, Susie. I mean, you could see through the shirt and
they were pointy.
Pointy, okay. All right.
I'm not the biggest fan of pointy boobs.
She had like good areolas, not too dark, not too light.
They kind of were like torpedo boobs.
Yeah, I like those.
Really?
Mm.
They remind me of like your era.
Your era.
Like if you look back at like 50s pinup girls, like the way they would have their...
I was not born in the 50s. Shut up.
Well, back in the day. Oh, you practically were.
Yeah, you have fun with that, don't you?
Well, you know what I mean? If you look at like 50s pinup girls, I mean, they've got like, you know, their corsets and things on and their boobs are just... You know, they go from like being wide at the base to just mm-hmm. being like pointy. They're not round with a nipple. I mean, they have nipples, but it just kind of tapers off into like a triangle.
Yeah, and sometimes because it's puffy. You know, those are called puffies. Like the nipple is puffy and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys
it's
love
not
that.
Separate.
Yeah. Guys love that.
See, I'm not a big fan of that. I don't know.
Yeah. But so do you think they just picked them out that way? I mean, it can't be that in one generation chicks would have pointy tits. You know? So well, maybe they just picked them up.
Well, in this generation, you look at, you don't really see any pointy tits like at all, like in magazines and Playboy and Penthouse and things like that. So I think maybe...
Not in those magazines.
It's just a generational thing that maybe those were the kind of women that were, you know, liked at the time. So that's what they picked to model.
Yeah.
And nowadays, pointy isn't really in or the thing. So they're kind of... I don't know.
I liked them a lot. Okay? It's hard not to like tits, you know?
I hear you.
I felt like rubbing one out to them, but I didn't.
Actually, speaking of tits, yesterday I was nannying for the second little boy, because I nannied for two families yesterday. And so I went to give him his bath, and he's in his mom's bathtub, which is this huge, massive thing, you know, with the jets and everything. And he's like, Doozy, you get in the bath with me. And I'm like, no, Ethan, I can't get in the bath with you. Doozy, come on, get in the bath with me. It'll be fun. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm here to give you your bath, not get in the bath with you. I think that's some kind of, like, child abuse or something. And he's like, he doesn't, like, understand. He has another, like, full-time nanny that's, you know, like a Hispanic woman. And so I'm kind of, like, the gift. When I come, like, it's like a big surprise that Susie's coming.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't understand that, like, I'm an authority figure. You know, he thinks of me like just a really tall child.
But he also doesn't understand the thing with adults and you know, naked adults with kids.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
obviously.
So, yeah. But then all of a sudden, you know, I put him in his PJs and we're on the couch and we're watching Happy Feet, the Penguin movie. And he's snuggling up next to me and he's kind of got his head, like, on my chest a little bit. You know, and he's a little boy, so it's fine. You know, I'm snuggling him.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he sits up and he grabs my boob.
Really?
He's like, Doozy, you have boobies. And I was like...
He discovered them.
And then he's like, you a girl? And I was like, yes, I'm a girl. And he's like, girls have boobies.
Really?
At 3. He's actually not even 3. He'll be 3 this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like dying laughing. And it's like, well, I'm supposed to have boobs. But, you know, God didn't really give me like a lot of boob.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of boobage.
Does his mother have big ones?
Well, she's like 8.5 months pregnant right now, so they are very...
So they are big.
They're getting very full.
Yeah, so that's what they're accustomed to, those kids.
I know.
Is that size.
But it's just funny, because like he just sits up and he grabs my boob, and he's like, Doozy.
So he never noticed them before,
Never noticed them before. I guess he thought I was a little boy up until then.
Yeah. Let's hope he's not gay.
Oh, no, not this little one.
No.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's just so freaking cute.
Really?
Oh, I'm in love with this kid.
I'm sure he'd be cute if he was gay, too. But do you think at this age they already determined as gay or not?
Do
you think it's in the genes?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of nature and nurture. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It depends on how you're raised. Excuse me. But the other family I was nannying for yesterday, I was asking the mom, like, how was your Thanksgiving? And she's like, oh, it's great. We went up to, like, these cabins up here and with the rest of my family. And then she was telling me all the different kids that were there, you know, her relatives that all had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was telling me that this one family has like a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old boy. They're both boys.
Uh-huh.
And the parents accepted hand-me-downs from girls. And the parents dressed these little boys in dresses.
Really?
Like pink velvet.
Are they fucking crazy?
Lace dresses.
Wow.
I could not believe it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, you know, what about gender roles?
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be, like, emulating for your children, like, what you're supposed to be wearing. So these kids kind of grow up.
Like, totally fucking confuse them, you know?
Totally fucking confuse them. And then the one mother, like, Andrea was like, really? You know, that's a pink satin dress that your boy is wearing to Thanksgiving dinner with a bow on it.
Oh, God.
And the mom was like, you know, we're very comfortable letting our children, like, choose, like, what they want and, you know, let them be who they want to be. And that's fine and dandy and all, but... The mom was so excited. She's like, we let little Jason, you know, pick out his own clothes for school the other day. And the mom was so proud that he picked out a dress. And I was like, so the mom let the kid wear the dress to school?
Wow. I'm speechless.
I was too. I mean, my jaw was on the ground. I was like, okay, that's really, really weird.
It really is.
I mean, it's one thing if my boyfriends wear dresses, you know. Yeah. But
didn't they say anything to them at school?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Why would they do that, for crying out loud?
The poor kids. I mean, talk about confusion. I mean, and little Skylar, the other kid I was nannying for yesterday, at one point, I was folding, like, the laundry and stuff, and all of a sudden he comes, like, I hear him kind of, like, chopping, like, stomping into the room. Mm. And I turn around. He's wearing his mom's high heels. And he's just got this look on his face. And he's just so mischievous.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's different. You know what I mean? He just wants to run around in the high heels because it's funny.
Yeah. These boys are going to be cross-dressers for sure.
No, they're not.
For sure.
No, they're not at all.
Because it would seem normal to them.
They're so hyper-masculine, like, in every other sense of the word. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're really, really boys. Like, they play with trucks and trains, and they like being in cars, and Skyler likes to pretend he's driving my car all the time. And
yeah. But they're going to have serious problems wearing dresses.
Not my boys, but the other boys are going to have some serious issues.
That's what I mean.
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Ay-yay-yay.
Wow. People are fucking crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
Yeah. So what'd you do? You babysat all day yesterday?
I went straight from here up to Malibu and stayed there until 5 and then went straight down to my other house and stayed there all night.
Yeah?
And you would be so proud of me.
Wow.
I didn't Wow.
Wow. Why?
Because I didn't have a single drink last night.
Really?
And I went home directly after work and I took 2 sleeping pills and went to bed.
Really?
Yes.
And did it work?
Well, I don't...
I mean, did you go to sleep right away?
Only because I took the sleeping pills.
Right.
But yes.
Yeah. Nice. So you get some good rest.
I really needed a good night's sleep. I haven't had a good night's sleep in I don't know how
long. I know.
Long.
It caught up with you. Yeah.
Sometimes I reach a limit and I'm just like, all right, I'm going to hit the wall. I'm not going to be able to function for the rest of the weekend. So this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
So I think I'll actually have 3 more alcohol-free nights. Not really by choice, just by design, because I'm working so much this weekend and also with finals on Monday that I really have to get my shit together.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, I'm going to still get an A in biology, but I have the option of getting a B in my statistics class.
Really?
Which is just unheard of.
Yeah. I know. That's what you were saying. I mean, that's going to be unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, I will almost definitely get a C.
Yeah.
But I still could get a B.
Yes.
Which would be crazy.
Okay, so explain to us, what's normal distribution? I mean, that's the first thing you learned, right?
Normal distribution is with the bell curve, and, right. You know, things fall within, like, 97% in the middle, and then from there, you know, you've got, it just goes off in degrees.
Right.
And that's kind of the way the statistics fall.
Yeah.
With the standard deviation on either side.
Yeah, where most people are in the center and stuff. Yeah. Mm. And then people, well, you see, you're pretty good. What about Poisson? You know that one?
Poison.
No, it's Poisson. It's P-O-I-S-S-O-N. Right.
We have that form. We have a formula for that written
down.
Yeah,
I know. I totally don't fucking remember it at all.
We have a formula sheet we're allowed to bring into the test.
Yeah,
so I don't have to memorize any of the formulas.
Yeah. You just have to know where to use them.
You just have to know where to use them, which is the fucking annoying part.
I know.
Oh, man, it drives me nuts. Because some of them are so similar, and then it's just like one little word in the phrasing of a question will mean use this over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have so many different elements of the other charts that you've got to use to pick out, like the Z score or the T score or the F score.
Oh, fuck, I remember those.
And remember the degrees of freedom. And then for this one, you use the degrees of freedom, and for that one, you don't.
Right.
And then the worst part for me is actually I get all the formulas right, you know, once I like work my way through that. But then I actually have to plug in the formula into my calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, like, massive, massive formulas, you know, that are ridiculously long with, like, square roots up here and then square roots under here and then, like, you know, squaring things and doing this under, like, all, you know, at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, the chance of having an error in any of those calculations is so great.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not, you don't have a natural proclivity towards math like I don't.
Right.
So that's when I tend to make, like, a stupid, screwy error.
Yeah. But at least you do, I mean, you know, even if you don't get, I think, the right number, at least if you, you know, put the right equation in.
Nope.
No?
Nope. He does multiple choice and it doesn't matter. He doesn't give it. I will spend like 30 minutes on one problem, which is kind of how long it takes to get to the right answers or the wrong answers. And it doesn't matter if I've done everything right and then just have one calculation error, I get the entire thing wrong.
Really?
God. And that's why he's a fuckface.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I can't tell you what I want to do to this man.
I know, I
can't. And
can
it is
imagine.
Not nice.
It's a nightmare to be stuck with someone like that.
So anyway, I wanted to re-mention this person that I've talked about before because he went back and listened to one of the shows where I told him I talked about him. And he said, he's like, I only heard you talk about your roommate's ass, your pussy, and he's got like smiley faces on all these things. And he's like, but I didn't hear you talk about me in sad face. It was the Catholic... the Catholic Italian
turned Jew, right?
Who's the stand-up comedian,
right?
So I told him to call in one of these days. He said he didn't know if he can call in today, but he was going to try.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to give Yisrael. Is that how you say it?
Is that his name, Yisrael?
Well, Israel, the Y.
Yeah,
Y-I.
Israel.
Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Israel Campbell. That's so funny. It's like such a Jewish first name that he adopted, and then Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, what?
I forget what I wanted to say. Oh, Israel is the Hebrew pronunciation of Israel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the word of the day.
Okay, let's hear it.
Golem.
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 I can tell you G-O-L-E-M.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you exactly what the fuck it is. It has to do with Judaism.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm smiling.
And this is a myth, a mythological story. So
creature.
Well, no, it's a story about this creature that was developed by, hooked up by Kabbalists, okay, like Jewish mysticists, so created something out of the earth.
Like clay,
is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, I remember this shit. And it's like a Frankenstein type of a thing. And it goes and he gets the Gentiles and shit, you know, and helps the Jews. Is that pretty cool? Is that pretty accurate?
It is. It says, an artificial being in Hebrew folklore, endowed with life, or also someone or something resembling a golem. And then it says, the Hebrew ancestor of the word golem meant shapeless mass, and the original golem started as lumps of clay that were formed into figures and brought to life. By means of a charm and combination of letters, let's see here, forming a sacred word. In the Middle Ages, golems were thought to be the perfect servants. Their only fault was that they sometimes were too literal or mechanical in fulfilling their master's orders.
Yeah.
And in the 16th century, the golem was thought of as the protector of the Jews in times of persecution, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's an urban legend, of course, but it definitely exists in the folklore.
Well, isn't like in Lord of the Rings, isn't there a creature named Golem?
And but that's spelled different.
You look so excited. You're like, yeah.
No, wait a minute. It's spelled different, though.
Oh, it's probably G-O-L-L-U-M or something.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's Gollum. I don't know. Golem?
I never read the books or saw the movies.
Never have I, you know.
But
it's just that computer-generated creature or something.
Yeah.
But I guess they explained it a lot better than I did.
No, you were absolutely dead on.
Yeah, but it is sort of a complicated explanation, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess they needed that. They needed to feel that there's something there that they can do to defend themselves, you know?
Because they would just build little monsters out of clay and, pretend they're, alive and real.
Yeah. Well, it didn't happen for sure. I mean, for real.
I kind of feel back in, the times like that, these creatures really were real.
You see, I don't think so. Because, I mean, why is it that God revealed himself to all the people in the Bible and he doesn't anymore, you know?
Well, I think he still does.
No more
in
miracles
weird ways.
Like parting seas and shit like that, you know? And
well, I remember I took I was in a Catholic school at the time, and I don't really remember all of the explanations, actually, for any of the for any of the miracles and things that God so-called did.
Uh-huh.
But basically, you know, for like when the sea turned to blood or when the water turned to blood,
mm-hmm.
Like that year in particular, there was like a surge of like red clay. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, the teacher was saying, you know, could it be possible that it wasn't really blood, that it was really just, you know, a change in the environment that was actually bringing forth all the minerals and stuff from the clay and actually turning the water red?
Right.
Is
it possible that the water never turned red and people just made up these stories?
I don't think people would have just, you can't. I don't know. A lot of people, I don't think, would just make these things up. I think they really were things that were happening in the environment.
You see, I don't think so. I think people were just interpreting it.
And with the locusts and things like that coming, I mean, you know.
Well, we have
natural disasters like this that happen today. Why can't these be signs from God that he's not happy with us?
But because these happened like in consecutively.
And you think ours have not been happening consecutively?
No, I don't. I mean, what do we get? Earthquakes. We don't get fucking frogs in every house. We don't get like all the locusts you're talking about. We don't get where all the firstborns get killed and shit.
In Cameroon, I was watching something. Actually, my girlfriend Ariel was like telling everything about this from the Discovery Channel. There were villages, like three villages of people that completely just dropped dead. Everything that was living in these villages completely just dropped dead and no one can figure out what happened. Like people in the nearby villages came by and they're like, you know, thousands of people and animals, like everything living is just dead.
Right.
And it turns out it was like the CO2 that came bubbling up from the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
And it surged so badly that it actually just completely sucked all the oxygen out of the air.
Wow.
And killed all these people, like, instantaneously.
Really?
Yep.
But not just the firstborns. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, it just...
It was sort of selective.
But the weird things are happening all over the place, and people just have to kind of open their eyes and see them, and who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe in God.
Yeah. No, I definitely believe there is a God. You know, whatever you want to define, but there's a stronger force. I mean, look at the intelligence behind this universe. You know, I mean, it's just amazing, from the biggest things to the smallest things. You know, from like galaxies to fucking fleas. You know, I mean, the physical
fleas.
Yeah.
Ew.
You know, I mean, the physical.
To bearded dragons.
To bearded dragons.
Look at my baby. He's
She's
so
fucking
cute.
Petting him.
It's my mini me. He's so cute. Come on.
Susie.
Shut up. Just
you won't get me to like him.
Just admit it.
I don't see how you can put that animal and cute in the same sentence. Ooh, she just kissed it. Ooh.
Smack
That's
dab on
disgusting.
The lips.
Oh man, you're terrible.
I'm sorry.
She walks in the morning, you got all the sweater and the fucking scarf and everything, and she's like, did you notice something different about me? And I'm like looking you up and down, and there's nothing. And then I see this little fucking thing peeking out from inside your sweater. And I'm going, oh no. Not the lizard again.
A different lizard this time.
A different lizard.
And I have another one yet again that I'll have to bring in on another day when she's not pregnant.
Yeah.
She's so miserable, that poor thing.
Yeah.
She's like packed with like 20 eggs inside her belly right now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Like, we only have to carry like one or two kids. And imagine having like 20 fucking kids stuck in there.
Ugh, I know.
No, thank you.
No.
Oh, man. And what else did I bring today? I brought you another present that you wanted to see.
Yes, yes. Bring it up because I can't see it. You brought the cover of Newsweek where your picture was on the front page.
I was the cover.
Wow. And you look like really boyish short hair.
My dyke.
Is this how you wore it at the time?
It was my dyke spike.
Your dyke spike? Well, it's not spiky, but it's from September 6, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Newsweek cost $3.50 at the time. That's what it says on there.
What's it cost now?
And probably $5 or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the cover says, what students and parents should know, the secret history of the SAT.
The truth about testing.
Yeah. Now, were you at college age at this point?
No, I was going into my senior year at boarding school.
Senior year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the funny thing was, or the funniest thing about this is that it now says at the top, the boomer drug dilemma.
So that's more appropriate, huh?
Yes, I like to say it's not about testing. It's about the boomer drug dilemma.
Yeah. We need to scan this and put it on the website.
Okay.
You look really good there. So now we have a picture of Susie at the age of what, 8
17.
Or something? No, no, but
the one
hanging on the wall there?
I think I was like 10.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
10 and 17.
And 17.
I'm getting up there.
Yeah, what's going to happen when you're 40? I mean, you're going to have so many fucking...
oh, man.
You know?
Oh,
who knows?
I know.
Yeah, but you see, I mean, you should go back to this, I think, Susie.
Yeah.
It's easy fucking money.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Meh? I like everything else that I do.
Yeah. Did you hear they added the word meh to the dictionary?
Meh.
Yeah, just like what you were saying, like meh.
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 Really?
Yeah. They added it to the dictionary.
I like eh better than meh.
Eh.
Yeah. The Canadian like eh or a.
Yeah.
A.
Well, you know, we have an author coming up, I think, next week about the Canadians. It should be pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
I love Canadians.
We had an author about the British yesterday, but we never got a hold of her, which was unfortunate. And Susie, don't put him on my equipment.
I'm taking
there.
My
he's
sweater off.
He's on the fucking... headphones on the cord. Is he going to pee on it?
He doesn't pee.
He doesn't pee?
His pee is in the form of uric acid, and it's hard, and it comes out in his shit.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You know a lot about
lizards
this shit.
Lizards do not pee.
Really?
They're actually quite amazing. Like, right on the top of his head up here, if I had him at the beach with me right now, mm-hmm. And a seagull flew overhead, he would... you know, he would instantly puff up,
mm-hmm.
and he would flatten himself out and make his body as round and as wide as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And these spikes on the side that are really soft normally would become extremely prickly.
Mm-hmm.
But because he would sense the bird, he would puff up his beard and become flat, like a huge round disc,
mm-hmm.
trying to create more surface area to make himself look much more bigger and formidable.
Right.
you know, than the bird initially had thought. Mm-hmm. And then if the bird decides to eat him anyway, if you pet him this way, you know, petting him down the scales, it's very easy and soft to pet. But if you pet this way, like, you really can't.
Against the grain, sort
against
of.
The grain.
Right.
And so if a bird or a predator or a snake tries to eat him, and the bird tries to swallow him down, the bird's throat or the snake's throat will be ripped to shreds.
Wow.
But if the bird or snake tries to spit it up, it will easily come back up the other way.
Ah.
I mean, they really just have these amazing little...
You see, that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a God behind all these things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't just happen, you know? There's some major thought behind this, more than just thought, I would imagine, you know? That's why I live in awe, you know? I mean, I look at the trees and the birds and everything that humans do, and I'm thinking, wow, you know? I mean, this is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was going to say something about our author that we're calling in a minute.
Yeah, coming up in about 10 minutes.
The only reason I think you picked this author is because of me.
Why is that?
Because I gave you shit the other day for talking about ending your sentences in a preposition.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me that, didn't you?
And yeah, and he says right here, he's like, he also tackles the issues of grammatical rules and points out how silly it is to become upset by sentences that end in prepositions.
Yeah. I know. So some people really get offended, you know. I mean...
My mother and my grandmother are two of them. Oh, my God. They're berserk.
You see, I like some common mistakes. Like, people constantly put apostrophes before S's, and most of the time, they don't even need to, you know. And or they forget to put the apostrophe. And or, you know, an email. Email is the worst fucking offenders, you know? Sometimes you get like one huge fucking paragraph and I can't go through it. I need breaks in the fucking paragraph.
See, I'm one of the...
Or they'll do like a run-on sentence. Like, two paragraphs are actually one sentence. No punctuation, no nothing.
I use...
okay.
Sorry. A tickle in my throat. Oh, I'm one of the... I don't know. I speak pretty grammatically correct.
Yes, you do.
Most of the time.
You speak very intelligently.
But when I write emails and things like that, and especially when I'm writing them like while I'm driving on my phone.
Yeah, that's different.
You know, but it still comes across as an email when the person's receiving it.
Right.
And I think a lot of the times these days people are emailing in the car while they're driving. And I mean, a lot
but
of the
not
time
a long
it comes
fucking email,
it comes to I do long emails in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I could type just as fast on my BlackBerry as I can on my computer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
With my thumbs. I'm just like...
Wow, I'm so fucking slow with that. Yeah.
Well, I don't like the iPhone at all for text messaging or emailing.
Yeah?
I don't... I mean, I'm...
Because it's... yeah, the keyboard...
I'm tactile.
Is,
I have to be able to, like, feel the button, and you can't feel it.
No, no. And the keyboard is very, like, awkward on the iPhone. You know, you really have to get used to it.
I know.
Otherwise, you keep misspelling shit all the time. But no, I mean, like, misspellings and no punctuation and apostrophes all over the place.
I'm a big fan of the dot, dot, dot.
Do you?
I do. Every other sentence, I'm like, dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 dot.
But then it loses its impact, you know?
No, that is the impact.
It's not a fucking impact
because
when you put it all
I
the
have
time.
All these, like, incomplete thoughts.
Right.
And I string them all together as, like, a complete thought. Or if I want somebody else to, like, finish the thought, you know, I have all the dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hi, how are you? Dot, 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 dot.
I know. Email has really made us seem illiterate sometimes, you know?
Yes, yes.
But I don't know. I take my time on emails. I write them just like letters, you know? I go over
it. You know
it,
what? I have noticed that every time
proofread.
Every time we get letters and stuff, you know, the mass emails and things that you send out to all of the hosts here, they are always very, very, very well put together.
Yeah. I take my time writing things,
and it shows.
Really?
It really comes across that you spend a lot of time putting thought and
because
care.
It's very important to me. I mean, language really, because we communicate. You know, you want everybody to understand the same things, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It really reflects your education, you know? And when people do write nice professional ones, I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I really am giving you a good compliment here. That
no,
I really,
no, I know.
I really noticed this.
Yeah. I'm taking it as a compliment. Thank you.
I feel badly for making fun of you for your pictures yesterday.
No, you
so I'm
don't.
Gonna, I'm
feel
gonna
badly.
Be nice to you today.
You don't feel badly. You would do the same thing if you looked at the pictures right now. You'd start fucking laughing. I still hear that witchy laugh in my head all day.
It is not a witchy laugh.
It is.
No, it's not.
Maniacal laugh. So I don't know what to do about it. I mean, she offered to do another photo shoot for me, but I don't know if I want to. At this point, you know, it kind of like there's a little bad blood, you know?
Well, I told you...
Because she took it personally, you
well,
know?
Well, did she probably listen to the show and heard you, no, like, butcher
I don't
her?
Think so. No, she would have said something.
Then she really wouldn't have offered to do them again if she knew the things you were saying.
No, but she says, she's like, I'm not going to stoop so low. It's like, what the fuck do you mean?
She
you
said
know?
She's not going to stoop so low.
Yeah, like that I'm being low by criticizing the photographs.
I just really think you should have, like, you know... Or she should have at least shown you a couple of the pictures that she was taking and gotten your feedback on them. You know, just on the camera while she's taking
but
them.
But you can't see that, Susie. It's too small, you know? And besides, I don't know if she has that because she's got the professional cameras. I don't think they have
that. All the professional cameras do that.
They have that screen in the back?
If it's a professional camera, it has that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Trust me.
I think it's a display screen for the settings, not so much to see the picture.
No, you see the pictures. Every photo shoot I need to know. I'm like, let me see the first five pictures you did. Yeah. Okay, great. I like this. I don't like this. Okay, from now on, I'm going to move my face this way. And then we carry on. And then I take a break every 30 minutes and I look over some of the pictures with the photographer and we talk about what we like and what we don't like.
Good. You see, that's the way to do it. That's the way. But you know, you also have like you don't really do headshots. You have like general shoots.
I have had headshots done my entire life. Right. I've had headshots done every year since I was four.
So do they have you do like 10 different poses or 10 different outfits?
10 different poses, 10 different outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, it didn't happen here.
Well, you're also only paying $150, you know, and it's not...
That's the thing. She keeps rubbing it in my face. Like, okay, well, this discount, I'm like, well, what the fuck? You know, you shouldn't treat it any differently from a full price. She's the one that offered it, you know, this deal. But it doesn't mean you do less than a perfect job.
True.
You know?
That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm going to use them or not. But I don't think I'm up to doing another one with her. You know, I just will chalk it up to a lost $150, you know. Yesterday, I almost lost another $150 because I was screwed by fucking Guitar Center, right?
What the hell?
I went and I got, like, these really expensive earphones, right? Because I need them. I work with audio all the time. So,
earphones?
Yeah, earphones, like earbuds, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and... because I work on my laptop all the time, so I need to be able to hear what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, I thought I'd get, like, really professional ones. So, this guy pushes this $150 set of earphones on me, and he's like, yeah, this is cool, this is this. I go home, okay, and this is, like, Shure, so it's a pretty good brand, you know? I mean, Shure make microphones and all kinds of audio shit. So, I take it home, I plug it in, ready to go to have, like, incredible sound, and... What I get is a fucking sound with no bass at all. It sounds like what you hear when you play music on your laptop. It's that bad, like a transistor fucking radio. And I was so fucking pissed. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? You know? I mean, this is obviously not right. So I'm like really upset and shit. I go yesterday to the store and I tell them about it. So they go plug it in. They go, oh, it sounds fine. I look at it. It still sounds the same. I said, you're standing here looking at me in the eye and telling me that this is okay, you know? And so three people ganged up on me there. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. If you're expecting bass, then you shouldn't pick this. I said, well, this is what the guy told me, you know? I mean, who the fuck would use $150 headphones that sound like shit? You know?
What about?
So I was really, you know, and they really were being condescending. And they of course, he's like, well, for hygiene purposes, we can't take it back because it's earphones. I said, so I'm stuck here with a $150 product that I can't use. And, you know, besides, they don't resell the damn thing. Who fucking cares if I had it in my ears or not? It goes back to the manufacturer or whatever they do with it. You know? So I was really pissed. I thought, you know, and I didn't want to cause like a whole big deal there, but they were like making me look like shit there. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I went home and I finally said, oh, and they said, well, try to take it back to the Guitar Center that you got it from, because I went to a different location.
Yeah.
So I called the manager over there. I just opened my mouth. She's like, no problem. Bring it down, blah, blah, blah. They give you the wrong thing. Just bring it back. We'll give you your money back. So... You see what I'm saying? I mean, people are like the.
Have you ever tried the Bose noise canceling headphones?
That's what I have. Oh, not the headphones. I have the Bose earphones. Those are like $100 a piece, and they're expensive too. But they're
awesome.
I've
got like the $400 ones that, you know, they kind of look like this.
Yeah, they're headphones, not earphones.
Yes.
Yes.
I have those, and they are unbelievable, and I love them.
I know.
I use them for everything.
But the only thing is, I don't like headphones on. You know, I mean, here I sort of like able to take it, but.
You would prefer to have something shoved in your ear than like this?
Well, yeah, because they're small, yeah. Oh, yeah, because look, I'm walking ears. Around. I'm not going to have like headphones on me all day, you know?
I thought you said you were like sitting at a computer.
Yeah, well, on my laptop, but I walk around back and forth all the time, you know? I mean, and I don't know. I tried headphones. It doesn't work.
You are so finicky.
Okay. So
you are the finickiest motherfucker I've ever met in my life.
Boy, you've just got great things to say about me the last couple of days.
Well, you just get so irritated.
All the resentment is coming out.
I don't have any resentment towards you. I'm just making observations, and it's, you know, you're just constantly like,
That's true,
everything just makes you so upset.
I have been lately.
I really think you should take some Xanax.
No, I need to take some time off, Susie.
Well, close the studio for Christmas and come to New York.
Yeah. Oh, man, I would love that.
Well, I was thinking about it yesterday. I almost sent you a text message, but I dropped my phone down a flight of stairs, and so now the backlight doesn't light up.
Yeah.
So I can't text when I'm driving at night. Yeah. God damn it. So I was trying to text you, like, take some fucking time off, you know, go to New York over Christmas, and, you know, just give yourself a nice little vacation. Like, you need it. But then I was, like, trying to text, and it was dark, and I'm just like, God damn it. I was like, never mind. I'll tell him tomorrow.
Yeah, I would love that, man. But no, I mean, thank God I enjoy my work. You know, I really enjoy it. But it's like you burn out after a while if you don't get any days off. I mean, 7 days a week. There's a reason why there's a weekend, you know, because people need that rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gotten any a lot lately. So, you know, I mean, what are you going
to
do?
That's why I have to do, like, people think I'm crazy because I do, like, you know, I've got 4 different jobs and then I've got, you know, this and then, you know, school.
Right.
And people are just like, we don't understand how you do all these things. And it's like, well, I don't do
all
of them.
Yeah, like I told you yesterday.
Well, I know,
someone asked me.
I don't do all of them at the same time. It's
right.
Not like I'm doing, like, nannying every day. You know, well, I do this every day, but it's only, like, 2 hours, so it's fine.
Right, right.
And school's only 2 days a week. So, I mean, you just find a delicate balance of doing all these different things.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's how,
yeah.
I don't know.
So, I know, you manage somehow.
But
I don't
doing
know how,
the same thing every day, I think I would go out of my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially staring at a computer for so long, you know? Yeah. But, no, I mean, that's part of the game.
I do enough of that looking at porn.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was in my 20s. I was partying a lot, too, so shut up.
I'm not talking about my partying. I'm talking about my busy work.
Whatever
life.
Okay, that's partying. Everything you do is partying.
It is not.
Okay, we're going to call John McWhorter, and is that how you would say it, McWhorter?
We'll ask him.
Yeah. Magnificent.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, John McWhorter.
Speaking.
Good morning. This is Sam and Susie in the morning. We're calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing
good.
This morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And where are you today?
I am across the river from New York in Jersey City.
Oh, another one from New York.
Go figure.
We pretty much figured we're not going to ask anymore because all the authors are from New York.
they kind of make us live here.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So you wrote what I thought was an amazing book because I'm really into language and grammar and stuff. And it's called Magnificent Bastard Tongue. And I don't know why the publisher felt that the word bastard is not such a nice word. They put asterisks instead of the A's there. So I don't know what's going on. But if it's on the cover of a book, I guess that's okay. We don't have to be that uptight about it.
Yeah. Oh, is that why people are talking about that word being profane? Because I didn't intend it to be.
Right.
That's what it looks like in the material. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's the whole point of your book is that, you know, a lot of people take our language too seriously and, you know, we don't have to pay attention to all these silly little rules.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, people tend to forget that languages develop as a kind of a controlled chaos and that we have to revel in it, not just because of ideology, but because there's never been any language that was any different.
Mm. Yeah. And it's amazing how this language, I mean, how has English become like such an international language?
Well, English has become an international language because of the accident that it was a Western European country that happened to colonize a great many other countries before many other countries could do it, or after many other countries had failed. And as a result, the English transplanted their language into different places, and languages spread. It's not hard for a language to spread to a great many people. So Portugal, for example, is the size of a parking lot, and yet it is the language of Brazil, because Portugal happened to have a few people who sailed to Brazil and stay.
Right.
And so English is an international language. Because of that, not, and this is important, it's not an international language because it's easier than other languages. The international language could easily be Russian or Navajo if history had been different, because especially children learn a language no matter how hard it is in about 10 minutes. So it's really just a historical accident.
So it was the outreach, really, of the British Empire, you would say. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that includes why we're speaking English now. It's strange, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Now, you're a linguist by professional by profession, right?
Mm-hmm, but, that's where it started.
Right, but you're not a cunning one, right? Because we get a lot of cunning linguists here, you know.
One hears that, yeah.
I think he would like to think he is.
Yeah, you didn't expect that one in the interview, did you?
I'm not supposed to say we should... No, there's a joke I could make that I'll bet is not legal. So.
No, you could say it.
Well, here you...
Am I allowed to say that you're supposed to ask my wife?
Yeah. Oh, John, you're adorable.
Delay, right?
No delays here, man. We say what we want here. So
I like him.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. But, you know, another thing that fascinates me is how long do you think it took for the British accent to be converted into an American accent, which didn't really exist before? I mean,
well, you know, to a large extent, it was the other way around.
Really?
So, for example, the not having the R at the ends of syllables and say you would say corner instead of corner,
right.
That only started happening in a widespread way in Great Britain, according to some studies, in the early 1800s. And that means that if you could go back to Britain in, say, 1600, people were saying, just like it's written, corner. And so the tendency, and there are other sounds along those lines that didn't take on their current flavor until after there were already Americans speaking American. So our tendency to imitate the founding fathers as if they sounded like people from Merchant Ivory movies. I mean, it's the best we can do because we can't hear them. They didn't leave recordings or anything like that.
Mm.
But actually, to a large extent, the British accent became British after there was already an American accent.
Oh,
really?
That's interesting. But obviously, but the people that came out here to America, you know, I'm sure they had the British accent already, no?
Well, the accent that they had would have sounded British to us in some ways,
right.
But in other ways it would have sounded rather American. The counterintuitive thing is that what we hear as British are things that are just, you know, ordinary chance changes, many of which had not taken place by the 1600s and the 1700s. All languages are changing, and that means that all dialects are always changing. And so, you know, you can call it R-fulness, you know, having R's at the ends of your syllables.
Right.
R-fulness disappeared only very gradually, and you know, there's a reason why we actually write the R, and that's because in earlier stages of English, the R was there, even in Britain, because that's, of course, where spelling started. So in Britain, they didn't always say corner. They said corner, too, and that's why there was the R, and it was for a lot later than we might think.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Very interesting stuff. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, like, for example, you know, one thing I noticed about English is the letter N that's used both with your tongue and sometimes with your throat, right? Like when we say bank, for example, and so it sounds totally different, and yet we consider it the same letter. How does something like that happen? I mean, why are these not two separate letters or sounds?
Well, it depends, and the reason that we don't make it a different letter is because that difference in the way that we pronounce the sound can't make a difference in meaning. And so, for example, in a language like Korean, there's a difference in meaning between, for example, pot and pot. Now, I made two distinctly different P's. One of them I gave a puff of air, pot. One of them I didn't, pot.
Oh.
That would make a difference in meaning in Korean, and so they would have a different, quote-unquote, letter. For us, it's just two different ways of saying P, and one of them sounds kind of odd. And so you have one letter for that. And so it varies. In each language, what makes the difference between two words can be different. And therefore, that often determines whether or not you have one or two letters for two ways of pronouncing something.
Right, right. And but this is amazing that American language is caught on so much. Do you think a lot of this has to do with Hollywood and stuff, you know, American movies that have fascinated people?
Yeah, and also songs. And so just
songs.
About anywhere you go, you know, over the PA system, you're hearing the same music you heard at the airport back in Boston or New York. And that helps because people want to know what those words mean, and they find out. And so, yeah, we have a communications hegemony over the world, and that helps make American English the world's effectively international language.
It's because we're wicked smart.
Now, you mentioned something about the book that is very interesting. I guess that's really the core of the book, is how English really evolved from Germanic languages, and yet you're saying that most of the other languages that came from those origins sort of like stayed the same, and English sort of like went in its own way. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Germanic languages are, depending on how you count it, about a dozen languages spoken mostly in Europe. German is one of them. And most of them, basically, are like German in terms of the grammar. Mm. And so nouns have different genders, and you know, the verbs sometimes come at the end, and things like that. That's what Germanic languages are like. Somehow English is different. English has a very different grammar. If we try to learn German, you would barely know, except in some of the core basic vocabulary words, that we're dealing with a close relative of English. And that's because English is what happened when a very German-like language, which was Old English, mm-hmm. was taken to England, where it was spoken more by people who originally spoke languages like Welsh than the original English speakers themselves, and so they created a kind of hybrid tongue. Mm-hmm. Then Vikings started invading and marrying into English-speaking communities, and they were speaking English as a second language. So they were speaking a kind of a broken-down English. And that English became so common that that's what kids started learning and just speaking for the rest of their lives as a new language.
Right.
And so Old English was like German. Modern English is like nothing. It's just its own kind of story.
That's true.
It has such a crazy history.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the few languages, if not the only one that I know of, that where the adjective comes before the noun, for example, right? I mean,
well, actually, in Germanic, that's what happens.
Oh,
so in
okay.
Romance languages, it's different. But yeah, in Germanic, you say the good boy, not the boy good.
Right, but I thought in French, French and Spanish, the noun comes before, no? And
the noun comes before.
Right.
Those are Romance languages.
Oh, so I see.
That's a different brood than Germanic. Is German, Dutch, Swedish, Icelandic. It's also Yiddish. It's Afrikaans that's spoken down in South Africa and English.
Right.
Then French and Spanish and Portuguese, those are the Romance gang. And
how many languages do you speak?
Well, you know, I can speak about 10 badly. get to use them or lose them, and the older I get, the worse I get. I can read them all better than I can speak them, but
right.
I like to keep them around as my sort of little collection.
Right.
I like how you mentioned sign language briefly in the book as well. My sister speaks sign language.
Yeah, and it is a real language. Very much a real. You know what? Can you remind me of where I mentioned sign language?
Page 162.
And what was I saying? Do you remember?
Hold on, I've got it right here.
It's been a long year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Is that how long it took you to write it? Or
to tell you the truth, I wrote Our Magnificent Bastard in about 10 minutes. I was on fire. I wanted to say it, and I just sat down. Literally, it took a month because I was very busy doing something else, including writing another book. Not to say that I didn't put great effort into it, but I was very much on fire, didn't sleep much, and thoroughly enjoyed writing it. I imagine I mentioned sign language at some point. It was a labor of love.
Very impressive.
You said that a speaker of American Sign Language captured the essence of how Worfianism unintentionally demeans minority languages, mocking outsider fans of sign.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I was talking about a whole different issue of how there's this tendency to celebrate speakers of other languages when there's something in their grammar that marks something that we don't mark. And so there might be a language where you have to mark whether you saw something or heard something when you talk about it. And there's kind of a strain of thought that says, oh, isn't it delightful that those tribes people are aware of their surroundings? It shows that they are, you know, people who are as smart as us. And I find it condescending. Of course they're aware of their surroundings, you know?
Yeah.
And some people have said things like that about sign language. My goodness, it's so beautiful. No, it may be beautiful, but it's also the way people are talking.
Right.
And there's just an inherent condescension. So yeah, I forgot about that passage.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you know, I could talk to you about this for hours, but I know you have other interviews and we'll let you go. But, you know, maybe sometime we can hook up with you again. And because, I mean, I've just got so many questions. Because
Bring me on.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll keep your number here and we'll deal behind the scenes. Maybe you can come in or call in and we'll talk some more about this.
We could just do a little language 5 minutes. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
Awesome.
I just wanted to tell you, John, that a while ago, Sam always asks our authors when they call. He says, where am I calling you at? Yeah. And so I said, I was like, Sam, off the air, I was like, you know, my mom always yells at me for ending my sentence in a preposition.
Yeah.
And so I purposely saw on the cover of your book, it was like, You know, he also tackles the issues of grammatical rules and points out how silly it is to become upset by sentences that end in prepositions.
No, but I agree with you. It doesn't sound right when you say at the end. You know, it's
but
more
slang. But I
thought
slang. He was purposely bringing you on to kind of...
No, not at all.
It is an ordinary sentence, and it is perfectly okay.
Wonderful.
I'm going to give this book to my mom for Christmas. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm definitely...
fun.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Thank you.
I'm definitely going to stay with the book until I finish it, because, again, I think it's fascinating. I think you've done a tremendous job, and the book is Magnificent Bastard Tongue by John McWhorter, and I would imagine this is available everywhere. Do you have a website you'd like to send us to?
No, I'm too humble for that. Oh. So there's no website. Just go to Amazon and you'll find it with all the other books.
Absolutely, and we'll put a link to that as well. John, thank you so much for your time. You've been great, and all the best
thank
to you with
much.
The book.
Bye.
Have a great day out there.
You too. Bye-bye. Very nice guy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it says in the back in his bio he's written some books on racism and all that. So it's pretty cool. A very smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Anyway, we haven't taken a break in who knows how long.
55 minutes.
55 minutes?
That's a first for us.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take one and we'll be back right after this.
Still up the room. You've been living underground. Fred Newman, Boston Globe. Can you tell us which era the era fossil is from?
Great era, question era, Ira. Era, we thought it was initially era from the Mesozoic era. Era, however, that turned out to be an era. Era, era. Upon further era analysis, it was era determined to be from the Paleolithic era. Era. Any more era questions about the era? Era.
This is the great Senator Ted Kennedy. I am a big fan of Sam and Susie in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. There is nothing more than I like Jews and nymphomaniacs. And put that pair together, and that is something I will listen to on my internet radio all day long. Here they are, Sam and the horny little slut, Susie. Era.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Did you meet people in Massachusetts that talk like that?
I just have to tell you that if Ted heard this, he would kill me. Because you forget that I know him.
You don't? Did you ever meet him?
Many, many times.
Really?
He's like one of Michael's best friends.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's how they do his impressions.
I know, but therefore, like, if he ever heard this and he like knew that it was me, he would fucking kill me. So thank you very much. I'm glad. I really hope he doesn't hear that.
Somehow, I don't think he sits around listening to LA Talk Radio.
I agree, but if Michael were to, next time, if Michael were to be like, "Oh, you know, Susie has a radio show," you know, he would check it out, and then he would fucking kill me if he heard that.
Then we'll have to play it every day.
No,
hope catch it.
I don't want him to. I like having him on my side.
Yeah,
he thinks I'm wholesome.
Yeah, I'm sure. So does everybody.
Everybody except the people that listen.
Yeah, the people that know you.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, do people talk like that in Massachusetts?
With that era? No.
So why did they make jokes about it? I mean, there's got to be something to it.
I think just he does. Oh, man.
Do you miss Massachusetts? Living there?
I really, really liked living in Marblehead, the small little town that I was in. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, quaint little town. Like home of the American Navy, you know what I mean? It's yachting capital of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is just a stunning, gorgeous place. But I was thinking back to when I was living there. Actually, I was talking about a kid, you know, he's in my math class, and he's like, yeah, I've been running a restaurant for like, you know, 9 years, and he's the brilliant one in the class. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, so how old are you? And he's like, 28. And I'm like, whoa, it's your first semester back at school? I was like, wow, you're even farther behind me, you know, than I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I had to get out of the restaurant business. And I was like, yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah.
I remember like closing down my bar, and we would just get shit-faced every single night. I mean, way worse than I do now.
Really?
I mean, my liver was like, you know, equivalent to a foie gras. Like very ready, like ready to be harvested because it was so delicately seasoned. I would close down my bar and only have my friends in the place, and we would just line up like huge lines of cocaine like all the way across the bar. Mm-hmm. We would just try and see like who could snort more. We'd have like these cocaine races. We're just like, all right, you know, Susie's in the lead as we're like going along. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Working in restaurants is really hard, though.
Oh, my God.
When I was a teenager, I used to work. My uncle had a restaurant in Vegas, like just a fast food place. And, man, that was such fucking hard work, you know?
Oh, really?
And
it really is.
You have to deal with all these, you know, finicky customers and
oh,
shit.
Oh, no. That was my forte.
Yeah? You
that
like that?
That was such my forte.
Why?
Because, let's see. All right, for starters, I would always have this like little 85-year-old man. He would come in every day, like right before we opened, and I'd open the door early for him. His name's Dan. I call him Diet Coke Dan. He actually didn't drink. But he went to Princeton, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man, and he taught me how to play backgammon. He's the one. Mm. And so we would sit there, and we would start playing backgammon, and then the customers would start coming in. And it was such a small little town, and everyone knew me for the most part. And then people would come in, and they're like, excuse me, bartender, Susie, can I get a fucking drink? I'm like, can't you see I'm in the middle of a fucking game? Shut up or get it yourself. And then they're just like, what? Oh, and then they would sit down and wait for me to finish my move. And then I would come over and I'm like, now, how may I help you? Or this one guy, he finally knew that I wasn't going to help him because he was always the second person in. So he would just walk behind the bar and make his own scotch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then finicky customers, if I didn't like you, you were fucking out.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, it didn't matter, like, what you said to
me. What do you mean you were out?
No, they were out.
What do you mean? I mean,
I would kick them out of my bar.
Are you serious?
If they were too fucking difficult, or if they said things I didn't like, or I could do whatever I wanted, and the owners of the bar fully backed me.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I had all of the power at that place. I mean, nowadays, like, when I come out, when I've worked in places out here, I mean, California is much different than Marblehead, Massachusetts. Because basically, you know, you've got all these, like, rich and fancy-schmancy people that, you know, you've got to, like, suck it up and you have to put your hands behind your back. My name is Suzanne. I'll be your server this evening. For starters, can I get you, a bottle of, 91 Opus 1? and so you kind of have to, like, treat people a little bit differently here. But that's why I won't work at a bar again out here. Yeah. Until I find a place where I can work on my own terms, where I don't have to deal with people in a fake manner.
Yeah.
Because, I'm back there and I'm working and I'm serving people, but I still am a human being and deserve to be treated with respect.
That's true.
So if people don't give me that respect, fuck off.
Yeah. But what? I mean, are you looking for relationships in the fucking restaurant?
Absolutely.
Really?
I had relationships. That's why I made so much goddamn money at that place.
Yeah.
Every person that walked into the bar, I had a special relationship with. Mm. And if they didn't like it, they could leave.
Really?
And then eventually the only people I would have at my bar were people that I had wonderful relationships with.
cool.
And each dynamic was different. I told you about the one fat man, right?
Remind me. I don't remember.
I think I did. His name was Dennis. And so he came in. And this was actually one customer that I actually, I kind of put up with a lot more shit from him than I should have. But he would come in every, like, Friday night with his wife. And he's this big, fat slob. I mean, like, huge man, but he loved me. He loved me like you wouldn't believe. I would get birthday cards, I would get, like, Easter cards with, like, money, like, falling out of these cards, and he'd come in, like, take pictures of me as he's, like, sweating by the time he gets to the top of the stairs to come see me. Like, it was the only exercise he got. While he eats his prime rib. But so he told me one day, he's like, Susie, and I was like, yes, Dennis, and he's like, you saved my marriage. And I'm like, really? How did I do that? And he's like, oh, I think about you when I fuck my wife. And I'm like, oh, whoa. My God. Oh, my God. And his wife was sitting next to him when he told me this.
Are you serious?
And she's like, she's this meek little art teacher. And she's like, Susie, it's true. You know, he hasn't fucked me in like 10 years. And now since he met you, like, he can get it up again. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me. And then another time he told me... he's a lawyer. He went to Harvard, very educated man. But for his hobby, he liked to do photography. So he got in this kick where he had to take pictures of me all the time. He'd come into the bar and he's like, oh, you're so beautiful. I just hold still. Like, other customers started getting uncomfortable. They're like, Susie, do you want us to, like, kick his ass or kick him out? And I'm like, no, he's just a lecherous old man. Yeah. Let him have his fantasies. Let him fuck his wife to thoughts of me if that's what, gets his jollies off. But so then he came running up the stairs one day and he's like, you saved my life. Like, breathing so heavily, like, and just sweating, his comb over blown the wrong way. And I was like, how did I save your life, Dennis? And he said, my photography studio in the basement flooded. And he's like, I slipped and fell. And he said, I was on my back and I was like a turtle that couldn't be flipped over, waddling from side to side. And then this is in front of, like, an entire bar full of people. And he tells me this. He's like, you started talking to me. And I was like, really? So I was like, how did I start talking to you? And he's like, well, I've got pictures of you all over my basement.
Whoa.
Like, he has a whole, like, photography like studio, and he's got, like, a shrine of me, of all the pictures. Like, apparently I'm his only subject.
Wow.
But then he said I started talking to him and telling him, Dennis, you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
And he said, so he huffed and puffed, and he rolled over, and the water was, like, flooding in the basement. Like, he was going to drown.
Yeah.
So.
Let's take a quick call here. Okay. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi, Sam.
Yes.
It's Linda from yesterday.
Oh, Linda. How are you?
Yeah.
You remember her, Susie?
Yes.
I've been fantasizing about your tits since yesterday. You left an impression on me.
Hey, I was wondering if you could. I know you already printed up your show for yesterday on the internet, but I was wondering if I could at least have my name mentioned on there. on the archive.
Okay. You want to remove your name?
No, she wants it put on.
I would like it put on there because I was just reading it and it talks about your headshots and so forth.
Yeah,
you
know why, Linda?
Add my name.
No, Linda. Please don't take any offense. What happened yesterday, I write the descriptions like while I work at home, and yesterday I was so busy that I just put like a little bit and then I didn't go back to listening to the show. I definitely had it planned on including you. We always include all our guests on there. So of course. I mean, because we
didn't get a chance to talk, and I apologize for being so late, but the traffic was insane, and I didn't get a chance to give you my business card, but I have my PhD, and I didn't get a chance to say all that.
Wow.
the reason I wanted to get on there is because I've been a counselor for like 15 years, and so my goal is to counsel people, since I've been in the business, to counsel other women that have been wounded by the business.
Yeah.
Maybe my age or younger, but or not to stop people from doing that business because you cannot, but to at least help girls now that it's damaging to their soul at some point. They don't realize it, and so at least while they're in it, to help them maintain some kind of emotional balance while they are doing that business.
That's really
that
wonderful.
Was kind of my goal.
Yeah. So you really think it damages your soul like this when you're in porn?
Absolutely. In fact, I wrote up some papers that I brought in yesterday. Can I email them to you, and you can see what I wrote, and I'll give you the magazine I'm in here in Orange County for counseling. I'll email that over too.
Well, I know because I was listening to the show actually this morning to the replay, and I remember you saying something about helping other women and stuff. Because you were
found that very important and very interesting.
Yeah, because you were molested when you were very young and stuff. So you've been
through
it, and you've been pretty much prostituted by your mom to go and do porn. I mean, that's
exactly it's different than what a lot of people do now, where they just they want to go in and it's all glamour. And like I said, it's so different now. They make you a celebrity. It wasn't like that then.
Yeah. Wow. So do you do this professionally? I mean, maybe people can contact you. Do you have some contact information for people? Website? Anything?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Go ahead.
My phone number is 949-981-4841.
Yes.
And then my email is doctor dot middle name Colleen Colleen Krause Krause
Great.
@yahoo.com.
Wonderful.
And that's just my personal email. I don't have a website just
Is
yet.
It Dr. D-R or D-O-C-T-O-R?
D-R.
Okay. Good. So I'm going to take that address that you gave us, and I'll attach it to your name on the archive so people can contact you.
That'd be great. That was my goal of being on there, because I really want to reach out to other women and girls in the industry now, and I've been researching it for months. I'm like, how can I do this?
I know.
The opportunity came up. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, here
this
she comes.
Perfect.
In. I know. She comes in for a noble purpose or something. I make her bare tits, I know. I'm so terrible, man.
And he's continuing to objectify you. What an asshole,
it's
Sam.
It's not about objectifying at all. I love the tits, and she's proud of them, obviously. Right? So.
Hey, we're all human. We all have boobs, right? Yeah. Women, anyway.
Yeah, women do. Yeah. And men like to play with them. What are you going to do,
They're all just little boys.
I know you have to have, a nice show and something interesting. So just being, what I do is not that interesting. So
I think
spice it up a bit.
No. It is. I think it's very noble what you do, and I think people do need that support, and you've been in the business, so and it's affected you and so forth. But here you are, you came across as a winner where you know what to do, and you said you have a PhD?
Yes, I have a PhD in neuro-linguistic programming, so I bet Susie knows what that is.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
NLM, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what like Tony Robbins uses and stuff like that?
Exactly. We went to the same school.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's so impressive. I can't, that's amazing that you were able to, turn your life around like that.
Yeah, PhD, very impressive.
That's why it's such a great story, is because, I went from that to what I am now, and I'm very proud of it. And, it certainly bruised my emotional side, but, you have to move forward, and I went through counseling myself, you know, in my 20s, and they're like, and you're not on drugs? I'm like, no, should I be?
Yeah, that's why a lot of people do the drugs, you know, to kill the pain so they don't really feel it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I've worked in treatment centers, so I've worked with dual diagnosis clients, and so, and then many of them, as you know now, if you look on the TV shows, you know, with interventions and different shows, they, you know, they obviously show that people in the porn industry do eventually use drugs. Not everybody, but a lot of them, and they're destroyed by it. So, you know, they're self medicating because they can't deal with what they've had to do.
Right.
And I mean, I certainly had my problem. I had panic attacks. Mine kind of turned toward against me, and I didn't use drugs, but I was very, very anxious and, you know, anorexic after I got out of the business. So
you do anything you can to kind of control.
Yeah.
To gain
Pardon?
Back, you do anything you can to gain back the control that you lost.
Yeah, yeah. And I was living with my husband, who was a photographer for a lot of these magazines, not the really nice ones either. I mean, the really smutty ones. And,
and
I met him
like.
Across my path. And so he used a lot of my material and still kept using it years after we were divorced. That's how I was in Italy and so forth, because we'd travel. But, and he'd sell all his pictures to, you know, whatever magazines are over there. And like I said towards the end of the show, I just felt used. I was just like, you know, I didn't feel pretty anymore. It was just icky, you know. The
yeah.
whole thing was icky. In between there was great, but it does get you in the end. It really does.
Mm.
You know, it cannot not have an effect on a person.
Well, good for you for being able to turn your life around like that. That really is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
And congratulations
yeah.
on your PhD. That's such an accomplishment.
Yeah. You mentioned dual diagnosis. That's when someone has a mental illness and drug abuse, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's self-medication, like you said.
Or like, you know, like bipolar, you know, severe depression, schizophrenia, that kind of thing.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
like a dual problem.
It's
that
a
you
double
have to
whammy.
Deal with. Yeah.
It's a double whammy. Yeah, wow. I have a friend that just, we shot in Venice on Sunday, and she told me, don't mention, you know, my name or what we're doing, because she's, you know, we're doing a project regarding mental illness, so, but, yeah, I'm just trying to get the news out there as much as I can and you know, help people and especially women. I mean, I've had friends of mine that this is a dichotomy. A friend of mine from church found this girl on the internet, okay, and she's an escort. And so he brings her over because I was counseling from my home, where I do interventions at other people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and she's, you know, an escort off the internet. And I'm like, wow. And ends up like, how do you know this guy? And she's like, oh, he's a client. He's my like church girl. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
And I literally stopped going to that church anymore. I'm like, forget this. This is just crazy. I mean, that's not why I go to church. You know,
yeah.
I want to be around good people.
That
are honest, right? Not people that lie and they go on the.
But
the
Linda, that's what church is about, is being able to go and, you know, ask forgiveness for your sins. You know what I mean? And so people
yeah.
might inherently be trying to be a better person, but, you know, still their demons get the better of them. So,
oh,
I mean, they're
trying to be better. And he's a guy that held Bible studies in his house.
Really?
I'm like, what a pervert.
He's probably only doing it to get the little girls into his house, I guess.
Yeah, well, you see, it just goes to show you that, you know, I mean, men obviously, often, they just go down to basics, you know, and that's what they need, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Linda, thanks so much for calling. I mean, you're always fun.
You're welcome.
You're great. I thought you were a lot of fun yesterday. And
you're
welcome.
Oh, you guys are great.
Thank you. You're welcome to come in anytime. And we'll definitely put the links, your email address for people who want some.
And my phone number. Or,
yes.
Yeah, whatever you're allowed to do.
Well, we're allowed to do whatever the hell you want. It's my friggin' station.
Whatever the hell we want. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so
don't step on anybody's toes.
Yeah. So anyway, and if I did objectify you, I apologize, because Susie made me look like shit now. But but no, I figure you're walking around without a bra, you want people to notice, so I noticed.
I did it for the show, so it'd be interesting for
there
you, because I know your show. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like going on Howard Stern. You have to,
yeah.
You know, you have to have fun with it and be.
You don't wear your Sunday best.
No, and you said you were an exhibitionist, so I figured you'd be comfortable with that. You know, it's not like...
Comfortable with that.
You definitely did not...
I'm not a whore.
No, you didn't come across as Mother Teresa either, though.
Exactly. I don't need to be.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I have no right to come across that way.
Well, amazing. So you're in Orange County, you said, right?
Yes, I'm in Orange County. I live in Corona Del Mar, which is just a little... suburb
beautiful.
Of Newport Beach.
Yes,
and it's beautiful.
Beautiful
here.
Oh yeah, very beautiful.
Well, I get to see so Orange County for the first time this week.
Yeah, Susie never even knew of Orange County at all. Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, she's only been here, 10 years now?
A year and a half, thank you.
Susie, do you know where Laguna Beach is, or have you heard of Laguna?
I've heard of Laguna Beach. I've never been there.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so I'm just like 6 miles, north of Laguna and about 6 miles south of Huntington Beach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a beautiful area.
So you kind of get an idea.
Always like to take
trips
down there. You know, you drive down on Pacific Coast Highway and you see all these great...
See, I always drive the other way. I always drive up towards Santa Barbara and everything.
That's right.
That's kind of like the way I know.
I do, because I miss L.A. a lot of times. So I go up to Malibu a lot. I lived in Malibu in 2001. So when I heard you say that the Malibu Inn's closed, I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. It's closing tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
The landmark.
Yep. I know.
Why are they closing down? Not making any money
I quit
anymore?
Bartending there. No one went anymore.
Ah, you see? That's what it is.
No,
they can't see anymore. They might as well close, right?
Exactly. No, the former owner just died while I was working there this summer. He was like 38, but he was a very, 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 very overweight man who had, he drove a lot of fast cars and lived a very fast life. When he passed away, it kind of got handed down to his wife, and his wife didn't want to be running, three or four different nightclubs.
Yeah.
And especially the Malibu Inn is like a money pit. I mean, it's very, very old. It's the oldest bar and restaurant in Malibu. It's been there since like 1920 something.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you walk in there and you just go back in time. There are headshots of people from the 1920s, like,
really?
All the way up through time, all over the walls. Yeah. And I mean, there are cobwebs that have been there for about 50, 60 years as well. And, even the neighbors kind of have issues with the music, and, we have sound ordinances, so we can't play the music too loudly at night, and I don't know. It just and then the drink prices escalated. Like, if you wanted a double vodka drink, you'd be paying $20 for one drink.
Really?
Like, $18.50.
That's crazy, huh?
It is crazy.
Like, we can afford that now.
Like, anyone can afford that.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt so embarrassed when I would actually, people would order a drink, and I would actually tell them, I'm like, this is how much it's going to cost, and this is how much alcohol I'm allowed to put in it. And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take
bring
me, like...
Bring your own booze.
Yeah, bring your own booze, I'm telling you. And then people would just, like, beg me to give them free drinks, and I'm like, you guys, like, I'm going to lose my job. It's just kind of like,
I know.
Yeah.
So...
You know, Linda, I was curious to just segue to another topic, is when you were doing porn in the 70s, did you make a lot of money from that?
No.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did make good money, and it's just relative to the era, but God, that makes it sound old.
Yeah, I thought you were saying earlier or yesterday that you really didn't make that much money per shoot.
No, I made good money. I didn't make very good money, just working a regular job, which is why my mom told me, well, hey, get into this business because you'll do well. And I only had to work about 3 days a week and paid all my expenses. And, for a young girl, I was doing pretty good.
Yeah, obviously,
It doesn't sound like a lot compared to what they make now, but it's the same. Just obviously our economy was so different and everything was so much cheaper then. But, I did really well, actually.
Right. And if you guys want to find out more about Linda, you need to Google Linda Gildersleeve, and you'll find out there's some pictures of you when you were younger and everything. So, very titillating.
Sam.
Good choice of words, Sam.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
All right, Linda.
Oy
well,
oy.
Listen, you're definitely a friend of the station now, so you can call anytime, and we'd always love to have you. And thanks so much for calling, and we'll definitely have you on the archives, for sure.
All right. Thank you, sweetie.
Thanks,
bye,
Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, whoops, very sweet lady.
You always hang up on, like, people at the end.
Because they keep saying bye, 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 I mean, people don't want to listen to that.
That was
the
a
radio.
Song from the boy band.
Yeah.
From the Lou Pearlman.
Oh, bye, 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 yeah.
Bye, bye, bye,
the
bye,
Backstreet, bye. Backstreet Boys, yeah. Okay, let's take another quick break, and we'll be back right after this one.
Red, 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 red
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
NFL Films presents Why College Football Sucks. In the National Football League, the game is settled on the gridiron. 32 teams tangle over 21 weeks, culminating with a final battle of the two sides gripped in a winner-take-all conclusive combat. That's not the case in the college game. For these amateurs, the champion is not determined on the field by highly conditioned athletes. No, the champ is decided by computer geeks who have created some kind of all-knowing algorithm deciding who plays whom for the pretend crown of college's best. Indeed, the BCS is BS. You know, in the NFL, it's bad enough referees get in the way. But at least we don't have nerds, which is why college football sucks.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back.
We're back. O.J. Simpson is back in court now.
Oh, God, and for what?
Yeah, apparently now he's like being very emotional, saying, I didn't mean to steal anything. But I think this guy's going to jail.
You know what? I was reading something actually in my statistics class the other day. I bought a People magazine. And I was so bored in class, I just decided to read my – or actually, it was like an Us Weekly, so it's even worse. And I was reading a thing about all the different people, celebrities and things that have been in jail for different DUIs and stuff like that. And it was like, you know, Paris Hilton spent like 23 days in solitary confinement for violating her probation for DUI. And then Lindsay Lohan and all these other people and like Khloe Kardashian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such fucking bullshit.
Kim?
No, Kim. Oh. Kim. It was her sister.
Oh, the sisters, right.
Yeah, I forget which sister it was. It might not have been Khloe, but you know what I mean? It's such fucking bullshit how all these celebrities get, you know... I don't know. Lindsay Lohan spent like 28 minutes in jail or something like that.
So you think they get preferential treatment?
Absolutely.
Really?
And like Paris Hilton was having like an anxiety attack being in a small space.
Yeah.
And it's like, God forbid, you know, you think everyone else. And then, you know, Kiefer Sutherland was like, it's so awful. They don't turn the lights all the way off at night. You can't even like, you know, put the sheet over your head.
Oh, poor
you
guy.
You poor babies. Oh,
what's
you
he
know?
Doing in jail?
He's gotten like 10 DUIs.
Really?
Yeah, he's not in jail anymore. I think he's out, but...
With 10 DUIs, he should be in jail for a long time.
That was an over-exaggeration.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, something like that. I think he's had like 3.
Mm.
Just for like raging alcoholism and stuff like that. But it's such bullshit how they get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
It really is. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I do. It does happen.
It totally happens.
Clearly.
And I mean, I guess I understand to a certain extent that the jails are, you know, overfilled and at capacity and this and that. And I don't know.
Yeah, but it's irrelevant.
It's totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
There are so many other people that, you know, probably did this exact same thing. And it's like, all right, well, who do we let out? Paris Hilton or the other person?
Yeah. Same thing was with Michael Jackson, too. You know?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what a creep. Oh, man.
This guy is such a great singer, though, you know? And I
who
mean,
cares?
He had to go and fucking ruin everything.
Well, he just liked little boys.
Had the best fucking music.
Oh, God,
ever.
I know.
Yeah.
But he just had like a super fucked up childhood, too.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, some very abusive parents, or at least his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
whole family is just kind of screwy.
Yeah. Well, everybody would be fucked up from childhood like that, you know? I mean, they were pushed into the limelight, you know? Who knows if they even wanted to, you know? I mean, kids, you know, they're very impressionable, you know? Sometimes I question all these parents that send their kids to try and be famous like you.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
But
it didn't screw you up, did it?
Well, I got out of it in time. You
I think
know what
it
I mean?
Did because you need a lot of attention now. You've
well,
probably
I've,
gotten accustomed to
that. I've always kind of, I told you before, my ex always called me. He's like, oh, shit, she's going into look at me Susie mode.
Yeah.
And it's like I was always used to being like the center of attention and always getting all this attention. Oh, actually, let me tell you this one little random story. Remind me if I've already told you before. But I was in seventh grade and it was the first year I was ever in public school. And I made the cheerleading squad. So, and I would wait for the bus on the corner of the street by my mom and dad's old house.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents would always leave for work or whatever, and so I'd be by myself waiting at the bus stop. And there was this apartment complex across the street from our house. So one day, a black man pulls up this, across the street from the intersection, and he rolls down his window, and he's like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Okay, man, I don't know, asking me my name." I was like, "Mary." And he's like, "Hi, Mary." Then he pulls across the street, and he unrolls his window, and he's like, "Get in the car." And I was like, I'm waiting for the school bus." He's like, "Get in the car. I'll take you to school." And I was like, no, I'm waiting for the school bus." And he's like, no, really, let's go out to breakfast, and then I'll take you to school afterwards." And I was freaking out. You know, there's like nowhere to run. There's like all these cars just like flying by. They don't know like that something weird is going on. Finally, the bus comes, and I freak out, and I like run across the street, and I get on the bus, and my heart's like pounding in my chest. Mm. So when I get to school, my homeroom teacher was like, "You know, Susie, are you okay? You look a little pale." And I was like, "Yeah, this man tried to get me in his car this morning, and I was really freaked out by it." So she's like, "Oh, my God. My child was going to be abducted." So she calls the principal, mm-hmm. who then like brings me into the office. I tell him the story. He calls my parents, and then, you know, everyone calls the police, mm-hmm. and it turns into this whole big thing. Uh-huh. So then all of a sudden, you know, the next day, and I think this was kind of wrong, the police picked up my mom, and they were waited up the street in an unmarked car, mm-hmm. like watching where I was sitting at the bus stop. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like doing like a little sting operation to like see if he comes back. So they were looking for the car I had described. So this morning, or the next morning, you know, he comes across the street in a different car. So they didn't notice that it was a different car. And, you know, there's a lot of traffic coming through.
Right.
And so he yells across the street, "What's your phone number? Like, I want to call you." And so I was like, "I'm not telling you my phone number." And then the bus came, and then the bus driver had been instructed to, like, look for a vehicle. And I was like, "That's the car, that's the car." So she wrote down what she thought was his license plate number. Mm-hmm. And off I went to school. So all of a sudden, I get to school, and the police look up the license number. Oh, he told me his name was Norman, the man. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you know, they look up the license plate number and his name and everything, and nothing's coming up. And so they start telling my parents, you know, kids do this all the time. You know, they just want attention. So they make up something like this to get attention. And my mom's like, "You don't understand. This kid doesn't need any more attention." Yeah. She's on, like, 10 national TV commercials right now. She's got more attention than anyone else in, like, our lives. And the cops are just like, no, really. Like, she just wants attention. And so then the bus driver remembered that she had switched like some of the letters in the license plate in her head. Mm-hmm. And so she called the police back. Turns out it was registered to a registered sex offender, a child molester, who lived across the street in an apartment. And so the police went to his apartment, but he wasn't there. So, you know, they kept checking back. And after they found out he was on his way to Florida with one unused plane ticket the second day. Mm. And he was going to try and like get me, you know, to go to Florida with him and do whatever. And then he also had a telescope, like, set up in his apartment that looked directly into my bedroom window. And I would jump out of the shower, and I had these huge 6-foot picture windows in my room, mm-hmm. right at the front of the house. Mm-hmm. And I'm always having, like, naked dance parties in my room and just kind of being me,
yeah.
With my girlfriends over. And so this pedophile had, like, actively been stalking me and planning on, like, abducting me.
How creepy.
How fucking creepy is that? Eventually, like, there were articles in the newspaper, and, like, all the neighbors just pretty much scared him out of town.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't even, like, walk out of his door without, like, mothers, like, grabbing their kids and...
Yeah.
But isn't that fucking awful?
It really is.
And then the cops didn't believe me because they're like, "She wants attention."
Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, they didn't investigate enough to come up with that conclusion, I think.
I know.
But, you know, this reminds me when I used to live in an apartment complex, a nice one in Northridge. One day somebody left notes on everybody's doors that there's a child molester or a sex offender living in the complex.
Oh, man.
Before you know it, people are starting to move.
Really?
To move out. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And, you know, because apparently you can find out about them just going online. You can find out who lives around you and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's very scary, you know. You have kids around and shit, you know. And the management company said there's nothing we can do, you know. It's like, you know, because
they
once...
They can't deny a rental application?
No.
What?
No, by law. Yeah. Because I guess the government is trying to rehabilitate these people and let them go back to society and live a normal life, although most of them obviously are not going to.
You know, most, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it because, I mean, if you, like, pee in public or if a woman, like, you know, shows her tits in public, you know, I mean, you would actually have to, and you get convicted or charged with it. Like, I would have to be registered as a sex offender.
Really?
Yes. If I get caught, like, flashing or, like, you know, peeing in public or something like that. So...
I don't think so.
Yes. That was like the whole big thing with the topless march. Mm. That's one of the things. It's like, should we have to register as sex offenders because we want to like show our tits? Mm. And like that was one of, you missed a lot of the speeches and things they were giving at the end.
Yes.
When you went to go pick up your car and your son was front and center. He's like, "Boobies. Oh, mama."
Taking video.
But that was like one of the biggest things that they were trying to like protest against. Mm-hmm. Not just being topless, but I mean about the fact that, you know, if I want to show my tits or if a woman wants to breastfeed in public, it's not obscene.
Mm.
And yeah, it's not like harmful to our children.
I know, but how can you be considered a sex offender just for bearing your chest? I mean,
or for urinating in public.
No, they're not going to put you in the same category with a fucking child molester, you know?
It kind of is in the same category.
No, Susie.
No, I think it is. I really do.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty lousy.
It's pretty lousy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, I don't know, real sex offenders and, oh, God, it's just disgusting.
Really? So if you go in the bushes and pee, then you're considered a sex offender?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Indecent exposure.
That's news.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
We've got all these weird fucking laws. I don't know.
I know.
I mean, I don't think they necessarily, like, if a cop sees me, like, drunk and peeing in the bushes, he might give me a ticket for something.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it just kind of depends on the situation. But mm-hmm. if men are caught like peeing in public by a cop, mm-hmm. you know, they've got a indecent exposure ticket, which is kind of in the sex category.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I like peeing in public. I don't care.
Yeah. You do everything in public.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm on a bike ride. It's like, actually, when Franz was arrested for his DUI on a bicycle,
uh-huh.
I was peeing behind the sheriff's sign outside. Like, literally, like, ducked behind the sheriff's sign when, like, the cops came. And I was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God. It's difficult for girls to just pee anywhere, huh?
No.
No?
I'm extremely talented.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I could pee in a cup while I'm driving.
Really? Yeah, I know. We've heard of that from Michael already.
Well, when I drive cross country or something, you know, and I'm by myself, and actually, this is really disgusting. Should I tell you?
Hang on just a second. We got a phone call. Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
It's TJ.
Hi, honey. How are you feeling?
Good morning, TJ. You don't sound very good.
No. I'm actually doing better. I didn't. Yesterday was like an episode of the Brady Bunch. I was walking around with a pad and paper.
Oh.
Yeah, paper and a pen, like writing down different things.
It was that serious? You had no voice coming out at all?
Literally, yeah. It, wow. It happens to me. It happens from time to time, and throughout my career, it'll just happen when I've gotten sick and talking and talking and talking and. You know,
your body just has enough, and it's like you need to shut up for a little while.
Yeah, and my throat will really go, because when I was doing stand up, I wasn't doing like, you know, 10 minute sets at the Laugh Factory. I was doing like 45 minute, hour and 15 minute like shows, and so your voice can really. So yesterday I spent voice rest. And, that's the only way I'm able to talk like this. This is actually like I sound like Pavarotti considering like yesterday.
TJ, I get the same thing. Like every year for at least a week or so, I lose my voice completely, and I'll open my mouth and a high pitched squeal will come out, and that's it.
Wow,
isn't that weird? It's really weird. It's really weird. And this is like the second time I've spoken this morning.
Aww.
It sounds, I'm actually grateful. I think I sound fantastic right now, actually. And so, Sam, I want to come in. I want to do the first hour again. I don't want another day to go by, so I'm going to come in and do an hour this afternoon.
Sounds good. Well, all of the TJ fans, you know, I'm sure people miss you when you're not here. So, I know I do. And so it's cool. Okay, well, what's going on with the...
Well, I also wanted to comment on what you were talking about. Again, another great show. And I got to say, this is one of my little pet peeves.
Uh-oh.
Is the whole sort of public urination thing. It's always sort of just, I mean, and yes, it's just like anything else. It's more disgusting when a guy does it than when a girl does it. It's like anything else. Farting is more disgusting when a guy does it. And, you know, really anything. but if there is something, honestly, if somebody is gonna like, you know, you see it like when you're coming back from like a concert or any kind of big public event or something like that, and people walk into their cars and stuff. It's just a vile, disgusting thing to see somebody, either a girl squat there with her friggin' twat out to the whole world and pee streaming out of it, or a guy with his friggin' cock in his hand and basically cars going by. That is absolutely, to me, no offense, Susie, I love you.
Oh, no, no worries.
But that's the kind of thing I think that really, sincerely, we left to the Middle Ages. That's not something that a 5-year-old needs to see. And I think that, you know, all too often, sometimes, especially, you know, definitely we're talking guys, there are guys who will definitely get off on that kind of thing. That's where it's a fine line between, and there's also a difference too, I think, between pedophiles and the general terminology of sex offender.
Was I incorrect in thinking or in saying that when you get a ticket for like indecent exposure, like for urination in public, that, you know, you kind of are in that category?
You are. I think you are. Not nearly. Listen, you know, armed robbery with a baseball bat is not armed robbery with a machine gun.
Right.
But they're both armed robbery, you know.
Exactly.
Sex offender, we're talking about exposure. Indecent exposure. You know what? Is there a difference if it's urination, if somebody just having to relieve themselves, or somebody walking around, you know, with crotchless panties, or a guy with a zipper under them? It's like it's exposure, and you know, and anytime you have to sit down and have an awkward conversation with a 6-year-old, that means somebody else wasn't doing their due diligence as a fellow citizen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying people should just, like, you know, pee at the zoo or pee at the park. I mean, like, I'm...
TJ, you sound awful, man. You better save your voice.
That was funny. I wasn't expecting to... Go ahead, Susie. That was funny. Go ahead.
No, you know, I don't know. I mean, like... When my biking group is out and about, you know what I mean? If there's obviously a place where we could stop and go to the bathroom, like in an actual bathroom, I mean, that is obviously ideal. But sometimes, like all of a sudden you're on your bike and you're riding into the middle of nowhere and you're literally in the middle of nowhere and it's like, you've got to fucking pee. Right. So people just will, like, you know, trickle off or go behind a bush or go behind a tree and they'll go to the bathroom.
Right.
It's like when you're camping.
There's a big difference between going behind a tree in a wooded area where nobody can see at all anything, and somebody on the corner of, you know, Fifth and Flower had too many drinks at Rosie O'Grady's, and so they come out and they go to the bathroom in an alley.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
And it's also a public health issue as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh,
and you
know? Yeah. What's the difference between dogs pissing on a bush and like a person pissing on the bush? Like, what's the, is there like a pH level difference? I mean,
listen, don't get me wrong, Susie. I paid $35 to watch you pee. Don't get me wrong. Sincerely, I would buy still photos of that and be a happy guy.
Since we're talking about pee, I have one more comment. In my biology class the other day, my friend Ariel like mentioned this thing on how in this one area, like the sewage is kind of bad, and I mean it all just goes directly into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually because of like the high levels of birth control that women are taking, the birth control, you know, when you pee it out, mm-hmm. is going directly into the ocean, and it's actually changing the gender of a certain species
really?
Of fish. The high
that
hormone levels. And our biology professor backed it up. He's like, yep, it's absolutely true.
Wow.
And it's happening right in our own backyard. Is that not fascinating?
That is one of the most interesting things. That is absolutely mind-blowing.
I know. You know what? I'll find out what the exact species of fish is, and I'll come back with some more, you know.
Keep us posted.
I'll keep you posted on that. But isn't that fucking nuts?
Yeah.
That is fucking insane. That is so cool.
I was like, I'm not taking birth control anymore.
Listen, you guys got... I can tell Sam is looking at the clock. I just noticed. You got 3 minutes to wrap it up, so I'm going to jump.
Oh, you're so funny. He totally was.
You're a little later.
Yeah.
Bye, TJ.
By the way, TJ, OJ was just sentenced to prison. In Vegas.
15 years.
15 years, my God.
15 years with a chance of parole after about...
Five.
They're saying about six or seven, because there's another thing he'd have to get paroled for as well. So they're saying probably about 6 or 7 years he could probably be out.
Good, I hope it's federal pound-me-up-the-ass prison.
Yeah, well, it will be, I'm sure.
It's going to be state prison, which is worse. He's going to be in Nevada State Pen.
Oh,
good.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
That ain't pretty.
No, that ain't pretty. But you know what? This guy's a mess. And, you know, if he finally dug his own hole. You know, I mean, it's taken a while. It took, what, 14 mm-hmm. years since he mm-hmm. murdered his wife. But he finally managed to get back in jail. And I think most people are not going to shed a tear for him.
Yeah.
Not a tear. No. Not a tear. He's paying the piper today.
Yeah. All right, TJ. Well, you're going to be here in about an hour. We're looking forward to that. Feel better. Yeah. And
have some lozenges.
Yeah, I will. Oh, yeah. I'll be sucking on Fisherman's Friend. All right, love you guys.
I think honey is good, too, isn't it?
Tea and honey.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lemon. That's all I've been drinking is tea with lemon and honey. That's all I drink.
Oh,
good
cool.
Boy. Good boy.
Like, yeah.
All right.
All right. Catch you guys later.
DJ Bye. McCormick, thank you. And that brings us to the end of the show, Susie.
That was a nice end, urination.
Yes, urination. better than defecation, let's just put it that way.
Yes.
And any big plans for the weekend for you?
Babysitting for 13 hours today, and then tomorrow I've got a marathon of studying for biology and statistics.
Wow.
And then Sunday, little Ethan turns 3, and I've got a birthday party. And then I'm also nannying the rest of the evening.
Cool. So. And your finals, what, next week?
Monday and Wednesday,
and yes. You're done.
Yes.
Good for you.
I know, thank you.
Yeah, you're probably looking forward to the winter break and everything, huh?
With school, with SMC, they give you like a 7-week break.
Really?
Yeah. My classes don't start until like late February.
Nice.
I know.
Cool.
So, I'm very excited.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for you too.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.